You know, we have all, when walking out, going around, exploring nature, we've all seen ant hills, observed the way in which ants work towards a common goal. If you've raised bees or been around them, you've seen how similarly they work towards a very common goal. And you've probably seen even huge flocks of birds moving together like waves in an ocean, and it looks almost out of something that would take special effects when you see thousands of birds reacting to one another in precision, with speed, and not knocking each other all out of the sky at the same time. Imagine thousands of humans working together like that in unison, how chaotic it is. And we have the wave at football stadiums down, but that's about it in big, big groups. But all of these animals, especially birds, you see these huge, huge flocks can react to each other with such precision. You know, there's a newer amount of research that's been happening over the past couple decades into the fungus system called mycorrhiza. And reading about this, it's in mycorrhiza associations, plants provide fungi with food in the form of carbohydrates. In exchange, the fungi help the plants suck up water and provide nutrients like phosphorus, nitrogen, via their mycelia. And since the 1960s, it has been clear that mycorrhiza help individual plants grow. Now, this fungus system, we haven't known about it for many, many years, is integral for trees to grow. These fungi structures and interconnections have shown, reading about another description about this, have shown to help plants become more resistant to insects, to disease, to drought conditions. For instance, these mycorrhiza fungi use their underground connections to produce and receive warning signals. When a host plant is attacked by aphids, the plant signals surrounding connected plants of its condition. The host plant releases volatile organic compounds that attract the insect's predators, and plants connected to this mycorrhiza fungi undergrowth are prompted to release the same volatile organic compounds to protect being targeted by other aphids. And the largest that they have discovered by DNA research of testing different samples of these fungi structures is in Oregon, and it spans about 3.5 square miles. And it's the biggest known living organism on planet Earth that we know about. And it's only been discovered in the past maybe 20, 30 years, maybe since the, I think it was after the 60s. A huge structure that we can't see, and yet it helps the forest grow. One of the leading fungi researchers is by a man by the name of Paul Stamets. He's an author, he is a speaker, a mycologist which studies mushrooms, medical researcher, entrepreneur, and is considered an intellectual and industry leader in fungus habitat, in medicinal use, and in production. And he's found some absolutely astounding uses for fungi, for these structures that we see growing up overnight when there's certain right conditions, growing on cattle feces, all of these fungus that we might not really think of much about. He has found some really remarkable research and done some really remarkable research. But, you know, he completely, I mean, fundamentally fails to honor God's hand when he looks at all of this research and what these structures can do in God's created world. He promotes an idea which is called the stoned ape hypothesis. He believes that psilocybin mushrooms were the evolutionary catalyst from which language, projective imagination, the arts, religion, philosophy, science, and all human culture sprang from this. What he's saying is psychedelic mushrooms changed monkeys into Homo sapiens. He believes that these mushrooms were what really caused man to be able to expand their mind and to think. But that shouldn't, that absolute off-path idea, shouldn't invalidate his research that he has come up with. He has looked, and through most of his scientific career, has studied mushrooms and has found some really great advancements of all of our surroundings. So that those facts shouldn't be clouded by his absolutely wacky understanding. But it does exemplify what Paul said of those that ignored God by what God made visible for us to all see. Romans 1, beginning in verse 18 and going through 25, I'm reading out of the Common English Bible. It says, God, and starting in 18, God's wrath is being revealed from heaven against all the ungodly behavior and injustice of human beings who silence the truth with injustice. And these theories that spread and that populate are really an injustice. This is because what is known about God should be plain to them because God has made it plain to them. God has created these things on our earth that we can visibly see, we can touch, we can experience. Continuing, and ever since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, God's eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen because they are understood through the things that God has made. So humans are without excuse. There's no excuse to come up with that kind of theory, to go that far out. And although they knew God, they didn't honor God as God or thank him. Instead, their reasoning became pointless and their foolish hearts were darkened. And while they were claiming to be wise, they made fools of themselves. They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images that look like mortal humans, birds, animals, reptiles. So God abandoned them to their heart's desires, which led to the moral corruption and degrading of their bodies with each other. They traded God's truth for a lie. They worshipped and served the creation instead of the Creator who is blessed forever. And as these theories, as people kind of build upon these false theories, theories get more false. They keep getting more deceptive, more crazy, to the point you get into psychedelic mushrooms are what changed man into a thinking being. You know, God has set into motion this physical universe, and he gave us a command. He gave us a command to tend it, to use it, and to understand his greatness, as we read in the Bible, that we should be able to understand his greatness and his plan that he has for man because of what has been physically created. But, you know, man ignores the Sabbath days, as we see, because we don't have billions of people attending the feast today. Man ignores God's holy days and instead places importance on those things that are passing. Even to the point of creating an Earth Day to celebrate the created and not the Creator. One Christian writer had a great commentary on this day. I think it's really succinct and poignant. In the recent emphasis on Earth Day, I did not hear one word about God, the Creator. To the contrary, some of this new movement look upon nature as God and even suppose that plants and animals have spirits. The mind of the fallen man becomes more and more twisted. Now some environmentalists suggest abortion to prevent harming the earth by added populations. Save the planet movements do not view man's role in God's creation biblically. In their thinking, the earth belongs to God, or not to God, but to man. They reject biblical teaching that this world must suffer and in the end be destroyed and be replaced with a new heaven and a new earth. To the unbelieving man, this planet is all we have, and its destruction spells doom and disaster. There is a frantic effort to save that which God has promised to destroy and to replace. And lost man doesn't know. Like, we know what is going to be replaced, that it's going to be replaced with something much, much greater. And that day is described, if you would turn with me to 2 Peter 3, that day of destruction is described by Peter. Second Peter 3, beginning of verse 10. But the day of the Lord, which comes as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God? And that's what we're supposed to be doing, looking for that coming day of God. Because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements which will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promises, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And that's the permanence that we are to be looking for, not the temporariness of this world. You know, what we experience through our senses, through the unadulterated creation that God has given us, that God has given us to manage, should point to God and not to ourselves. Mankind points to himself and herself as the ones that uphold this, that it is created for, and that's all of this has been created for God to point to our God. Reading from Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4 out of the NIV version, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. This natural world, as we read earlier, is pointing to God. There's no excuse for mankind if they cannot see those elements of God and understand God by what God has created. So what is this natural world teaching us then? You know, we see many of God's creations, those created things, working together to form something bigger, something better than their individual selves, the insect world, for one example. You know, Christ talked about the body of the church, which helps the members, helps all of us grow to one specific goal. That goal is to become part of the family of God. That is something that we work towards, that greater thing. The animals can do it. We should be able to do it ourselves. And that promise stands before each and every one of us today. 1 John 3. Beginning in verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That is the promise, brethren, that we all have been given. The objective of nature is to reveal God, is to reveal our Father to us. It's to reveal God's plan and our part in it. So, brethren, look around you. We are surrounded by the character of God in everything that he has created.